Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Cloud Church of Conscious Harmony. It's a blessing to be together wherever you may be. We are together in this space of silence and stillness as we enter into Christmas week. Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent, such a meaningful journey through these darkening days into winter solstice tomorrow. And encourage you to look tonight at sunset just above the horizon and tomorrow night just above the horizon to see this special Christmas star or Bethlehem star, the conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn. So sacred, the heavens are telling so much. And as it is above, so it is below. Today we'll hear a beautiful passage of Scripture called the Annunciation, where Mary has this encounter with Angel Gabriel. It's a reminder to all of us that we can be vessels of divine grace. Just a couple announcements for our community today. All our Christmas services and New Year's Eve services are available online. You just go to the church's website, consciousharmony.org, and click on the front page. It'll say Watch or Live Services, and you can click there. You can also see the recent services we've broadcast, including this past week's Glorious Impossible, which you, if you haven't seen it, the montage is extraordinarily beautiful and meaningful. Little inserts of our singers and musicians doing vignettes of favorite songs, and set in a cosmic context. It's really quite beautiful. You can see that if you scroll all the way down on the bottom of that page, the watch page. And also tonight, I'd love to invite you on behalf of the youth to go to that same website and watch the youth lead us in a Tazé service on Zoom. It will be so meaningful, and encourage you to do that tonight at 7 o'clock. The Christmas Eve service begins at 6 o'clock on that same website I was mentioning, as does the New Year's Eve service at 7 o'clock. Christmas Eve is at 6, New Year's Eve at 7, and then we'll conclude New Year's Eve at 11:30 with a period of centering prayer that'll take us into the New Year's. And you can do all this from home and the comfort of your home, and I hope you do join us in that way. And also, because we know this is such a sacred time and this space is so meaningful to all of us, the church will be open, sanctuary will be open on Christmas Eve Day, that's this Thursday, the 24th, from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. And you can sign up online in the link that was sent in the Friday email. You could call the church office. We have space available. We're socially distancing. There's a limited number of spots available per 30 minutes. I encourage you to come into the sanctuary, take part in Eucharist that'll be prepared for you in a packaged container. You can write a prayer on a piece of paper that will be here for you and leave the prayers on the altar here. And spend some time in centering prayer, perhaps. It'll be a very meaningful way for you to infuse our Christmas Eve service energetically, even though we can't be together. We'll send a signal together from this sacred space, and we'll feel that, and that the, so to speak, the inn will be filled. We have several centering prayer events upcoming. We've got a Saturday retreat, which is a one-day experience from 9 a.m. to 3 o'clock on January 16th. It's a wonderful opportunity to begin the new year in silence with others online. We also have an Introduction to Centering Prayer Retreat experience, a course online, I should say, and that'll occur also on that 16th from 10 a.m. to noon. So if you'd like a refresher on the method of centering prayer, or perhaps you've never learned specifically the method of centering prayer, I encourage you to sign up for that, and you can do that online or call the church office Saturday, January 16th, from 10 to noon. And then we also have our first centering prayer retreat offsite at Belton at Cedar Break on January 22nd through the 26th. We're currently holding that in person, but we may need to change that. But just call the church office or register online for that five-day renewal retreat, which has been such a blessing to so many of us. There'll be no other services scheduled during Christmas week to New Year's Eve. We call that the Church's at Rest week. And so just keep us in prayer as we keep you in prayer. And wanted to just mention something very meaningful. we have had a letter from Caritas, which is an organization the church has given non-perishable food to for a long time. But this year, through the efforts of two of our dear members who had a specific intention, I just wanted to share that so far, because of all your generosity, so far we as a community have donated 170 pounds of food and 36 pounds of hygiene items. That's more than I weigh, I think. So that's a lot of food, and I thank you for your generosity and just thoughtfulness. It's such a beautiful way to express care, the care of Mary to our community. Well, that's all the announcements I have. Let's take a moment in the silence on this fourth Sunday of Advent, just before we light our candle, just a wish for this service to bless everyone who partakes, whenever they might partake in it. And that Spirit would give to each of us that which we need for our journeys. Come with me and we'll light our candles. And with conscious gratitude, we light the fourth candle of Advent, a reminder of the completion of our journey to Christmas. Amen.
Please join us in invoking and remembering the Holy Spirit with our song, Holy Spirit, Come. Please join us in singing "The Gospel in One Word is Love."
Most gracious and loving Creator God of the heavens and the earth, birther of the universe, giver of this and every moment, loving us as father and mother, we thank you each of us for the gift of life, and we ask that by the power of your Spirit overshadowing us, you would open us more deeply to receive the gifts that you have for us on our journeys, that we would embrace being each of ourselves and to offer ourselves more fully to you, to be transformed into love itself together for the sake of your joy and the world's destiny. We ask that this Christmas week would be the most conscious experience of our lives, that we would deepen this COVID experience into the gift of transforming it to be vessels of Christ in the world. We ask this in your most holy threefold name, our family name, God transcendent, God omnipresent, and God immanent, the Holy Living Trinity. Amen.
Good morning. We remember God, and God is in our hearts. Here's our verse for December. Ever again upon the earth and down from the heaven high, we seek a place where we may rest, my holy child and I. In every heart is hid a nest wherein my child may lie. So open your heart to the baby guest. Let in the heavens high. We're going to light our Advent candles. Our first light of Advent was the light of stones. The second light of Advent was the light of plants. The third light of Advent was the light of the friendly beasts. And the fourth light of Advent is the light of humankind, the light of hope in our hearts and in our minds. Now, we've had various things that we've been doing to prepare for the birth of Christ. We have been making room. And that's the important thing about Advent, is making room so that when we're called upon to have Christ in our hearts, we've gotten rid of things that were in the way. We did some forgiving. We did acts of kindness, and we added a little bit of hay to our manger each time when we remembered to do something for someone. we shared our shepherd's pouch, where we've been adding our coins and our bills, and perhaps you're ready to give your shepherd's purse to someone like Caritas that will do good with it and help others feed the hungry. And perhaps you've made a decision to become a lucky light worker like Michael Begeman and Jeff Frank, and to go into your portal of light and to prepare room for the love of Christ. We've also had our Advent calendars, and we've been opening the door on the Advent calendar each day, and today we open door number 20. And this one says, "And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they prostrated themselves and did homage." And here's a picture of Mary being visited by the kings. So all of the people in the pictures of the Advent calendar are the humankind. They represent the parts of ourselves, like the innkeeper that has to make room, like the shepherd that has to shepherd our thoughts toward hope and love, the kings who bring gifts, the generosity that we find in ourselves at this time of year when we think of giving. Someone once told me the mystery of Christmas in an analogy. And I want to share that with you because it's a beautiful way to visualize what we're doing during Advent. A merry-go-round goes around, and you sit on the horses and you hold on to the poles. And in some of the old-fashioned merry-go-rounds, there's a brass ring, and every time you get close to it, you can reach out and try to grab it. And that's what Christmas is like. This is the circle of the church year. It is the circle of time, forward and backward. And every time we get close to Christmas, we're close to that brass ring. Perhaps it's the Star of Bethlehem, and we reach into the light. And if we're very ready, that light can spark inside of us. And we can feel something new at Christmas because we had more room with our preparations. This time, I want to give you one more way that you can reach for that light. And that's the Advent garden. We don't have one at church this year, but you can set this up in your home. You can take a string of Christmas lights and create a spiral in your great room. Or perhaps you have enough greenery to make that spiral. And in the center of the spiral, you can put a chair for your mother to sit in, and she can hold the place of Mary. And on the little table, put the Christ candle. And everyone in the family will have an apple. And you take an apple coring tool, and you dig out the center of the apple. And then you make it big enough to put in a candle. And this represents you reaching into the light, hoping that that spark of Christ's love can connect. Because when we have this opportunity with the carousel to come so close to God, this special time of year during this mystery, God can come so close to us. So perhaps on Christmas Eve, you will act out the spiral and walk toward the Christ light and light your candle. You can start with the youngest child in the family. And then you can take your apples and you can put them on the windowsill. And they can reach out to the light in other families across the town. Even families who are celebrating Hanukkah and have their candles lit. The people celebrating Kwanzaa who have their candles lit and the people with the Advent candles. Reach out to the light and connect with it, the light of humankind divine. Merry Christmas.
Our scripture reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. May this reading nourish your journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
Little line there that we easily miss amidst all the bigness of that story Marianne just read. A little line we oftentimes miss, it's so important. And then the angel left her. And that is a really important reminder that for many of us, it feels like our angels have left us. And we go on these spiritual journeys and we have moments of insight or connection with Spirit and perhaps even revelation. And then we have these long stretches of empty space, of seemingly dry spiritual activity, of no comfort or consolation, just simply practice, practice, practice. And sometimes in our meditative sits, our centering prayer periods, it's just minding, 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 thoughts, thoughts, thoughts. And so many of us sometimes have this experience of feeling like the angels have left us. I've felt that way a lot this year, looking at the empty sanctuary, feeling like I've lost my angels, my Austin angels, the CCH angels that fill this room. And so I was so blessed to be reminded of a little hymn that I remember from childhood that we'll be singing on Christmas Eve. And I really encourage you to sing along with our carols on Christmas Eve. Just belt it out from your home that we can all hear each other. There are angels hovering round. There are angels hovering round. It goes like that. It's a beautiful hymn. And it just reminded me that song when I heard it this year driving in my car, that we're in this together and we're hovering around each other even though we can't physically be with each other. There's a certain cultivation of presence that we call FaceTime and that we call screen time now. And about 15 years ago, I wrote something that said something like this, that this is the age of presence, capital P, presence. That it's a mediated presence, one to the other, now more than ever interconnected. And this is our state of affairs for each of us at this very second, mediated through that camera on the back wall to your living space, wherever you are right now, or wherever your device is. We're connected. I think this is nothing new to any of us, but certainly you can see that perhaps this is a way we are angels to each other in a new way. And that we are hovering around even though we're not physically present. There's a kind of spiritualization of communication that's occurring. And I've read that some say that this whole situation has sped us up technologically 20 years. It did what 20 years would take in one brief year technologically. And so we can just feel into that feeling of being alone, of being left alone, of being given a purpose, a destiny, a revelation, an insight. And we can feel into that sensation of wondering, will we make it? Will I make it? Will I have my job? Will my income stop? Will I be able to pay rent? Will there be enough food for everything in the presence as well? Will my kids be okay? Will my grandchildren have a thriving life? What's coming around the corner? I think these are all questions we ask. And our series on the dreams of Christmas is a beautiful teacher, I think, to all of us, that God, spirit, mystery, presence, higher influences continue to connect with each of us on this planet in different ways. And that these stories, though well-worn in our hearts because we've been listening to them since childhood, and those magical childhood memories still infuse our current readings with the sense of nostalgia, at least it does for me. And I can never hear that story Marianne just read of the Annunciation without feeling 1978, 60th Street in downtown Milwaukee, where we lived for a brief period of time. It was the best Christmas of my childhood, primarily because for some reason we had a little extra money and there were a lot of presents underneath the tree that morning, that Christmas morning. And I remember coming out early, it must have been 3 or 4 in the morning, and the Christmas tree was still lit, and seeing the piles of presents, it just stunned me. We had never had that many presents before. And, of course, I think that was the year or year after Star Wars had just come out, and so I could see that I had been given a stormtrooper helmet or something. I could see the outline of that, and the president was so excited. And there in the quietness of the house at 4 in the morning, I looked at all those presents as a little 7-year-old and felt this. This is the love of my parents. They love us so much. And it was a physical, tangible reminder of how much I was loved by my parents. And though we didn't have a perfect little family, there was difficulties there. I could still in that moment feel that everything was okay and that I was loved by my parents and that my brother and sister were loved by my parents. And it was a very tender moment that is associated in my mind with these stories. And going to the Lutheran church on Christmas Eve and passing the Christmas candles one to the other as we sang Silent Night, how many of us have had that experience embedded in our hearts and in our bodies. And it's all a beautiful thing. And it reminds us again and again as we hear these stories that it's not just for then and there and them, but it's for here and now and us. And while the archetypes of these stories are universal, and while they are embedded in a time and culture, playing a particular role for a particular revelation that Spirit was unfolding for that point in humankind, the principles endure to this very moment. And so we can see that the principle of communicating with divine realm, with higher influence, with higher emotional center, higher intellectual center, the principles are here in these stories. First, God speaks to us in dreams. Spirit speaks to us in dreams. Our soul speaks to us in dreams. And to pay attention and to ask for understanding of our dreams. Lesson number one. Then we see that God speaks to us sometimes through angels. And these angels can appear in a dream or, like with Zechariah, in a state of meditative prayer. The angel, which represents that higher influence or that aspect of our soul that has been disconnected from ourselves, hidden in the shadow, so to speak, the message that needs to be given in any given moment of our life comes to us through that messenger, that angel that shows up in our meditative space. This is the key. It's not a dream space anymore like Joseph had. It's this meditative space that Zechariah is in a sacred, holy space, literally near the very center, the epicenter of the Holy of Holies, surrounded by the atmosphere of worship and people that are praying. And in that environment of prayer and worship, meditation, a revelation is given inwardly to his inward eye, so to speak. And it's very powerful, and we can relate to this, that God communicates, Spirit communicates, higher influences communicate, angels communicate with us in our dreams and in our meditative states. And today we look at Mary. And Mary is neither in a dream, nor is she in a meditative state. The text says that the angel came to her. Now that English translation of the Greek word for came or come is poor translation because there's a preposition in the Greek prefix of that word for come. It's pros ecumai, which means entering into or arriving into. And that into that we translate into English as that English preposition into, in, into, toward, it's not conveyed in the English word, and the angel came to her. The into-ness is missing in that word. And for me, this is essential. And it also is echoed in the way in which the Holy Spirit overshadows Mary. We'll talk about that in a second. But the angel came to her. Hear that not just as showing up, but it's came into her. And what for us can we understand that to mean? It's into her field of awareness, into her field of conscious awareness, presenced to her. So the angel may never have been physically standing right there, and if someone else had been walking with Mary, perhaps they would not have seen the angel. But this hint that this inner encounter is a revelation to her mind space helps us understand the specialness of this event, but also the recurrence of this event for our lives, that spirit, that angel, that higher influences enter into our field of awareness, our field of consciousness all the time through good teaching, through reading conscious writings like the commentaries or the meditations on the Torah or countless other be influences. Walking in nature, a presence enters into our field of awareness. The presence of someone we haven't talked to, and yours perhaps, enters into our mind space. And this is the continuation of the angels hovering around in our day-to-day lives in our modern world. Now, clearly, Mary is playing a very significant role here in a way that none of us ultimately need to replicate. That there was a seeding on this planet of the divine union with human nature that needed to happen and be enacted out on the stage of history in a physical embodied way. And this is what we call the incarnation, or the revelation of the divine union of human nature with divine nature. And in at least the monotheistic traditions of Judaism and Christianity and, of course, Islam, this sense of the union of the human and the divine incarnating is a very unique and special thing. In fact, it's really nowhere else in the monotheistic tradition than here in the Christmas story. But in Hinduism, this sort of thing isn't too difficult to understand. Or God men and God women are being born all the time. Avatars are being incarnated all the time. But for the Judaic tradition from which Christianity comes, this was a novel idea. And so you can see it's an evolutionary moment in the development of the monotheism of the day. And that evolutionary moment has unfolded for the last 2,000 years of human consciousness, bringing us to a place where we understand not only the level of unconsciousness that is occurring in humankind, that we even have an unconsciousness, but that we have spectrums of consciousness by which human beings relate to the world and to reality and to ourselves. And in the last 2,000 years, we've also discovered the quantum dimension of reality and the universe and its expanding nature. 15 billion years of light that is expanding that we can see visibly so far of our universe. That too was unknown 2,000 years ago at the revelation of the angel to Mary. So much has unfolded in the last 2,000 years that has integrated this story and now takes it to a whole other dimension of understanding. And so I encourage you to don't listen to this story with the lens of your 7-year-old mind alone. Listen to this story from the 7-year-old mind, but also with the mind of Christ that has been revealed to you through your meditative practice, with the infusion of understanding that has come to us in the last 2,000 years of this extraordinary cosmos that we get to live in. And the reality that each of us is mediated to God by this field of consciousness. So we are in the age of presence, but not just the presence of iPhones and FaceTime, but the presence with higher reality, or what we might call third force, that's presenced and mediating ultimate reality to us in deeper and deeper ways with finer and finer quality of energy. And thus this teaches us that we're a part of the evolutionary edge of human consciousness. And so we have a great responsibility at crisis moments of our species to tune into the finest and highest quality of influences, the angelic influences that are hovering around, that wish to speak to us and to call to each of us to be vessels of continuing the incarnation. Now, Jesus doesn't need to be born again. That happened. Christ needs to be born again. And Jesus is the template for which, as it goes for him, so it goes for us, as Bernadette teaches us, that the transformation is of releasing ourselves more and more into the divine so that something is transformed in that mixture. As the divine consumes ourself, it creates a new substance that we name Christ, which isn't God and is not human. It's something in between. It's the oneness of God and humankind. And that oneness is safe from the accusation of being, you might say, turning us into God, pantheism. And it's safe from the fear that God has abandoned us and left us alone, that we are now united with God by the Spirit in some great internal way. Now you can feel into this. This is something that each of us can verify because it's a quality of experience on the emotional level, which is why purification of the emotional center is the first order of business on the spiritual journey for monks and lay people alike. It begins by some oftentimes external forms of asceticism, fasting and praying and living under a particular kind of rule of life. And this external form of, you might say, spiritual discipline is the dark night of the senses, the rough sandpaper that begins to smooth this out and purify our emotional center. And through that purification of the emotional center, we may enter into the state of illumination. And in that state of illumination, we may move into the state of the union, or an experience of the union. And it's a beautiful process that each of us is invited to. And in essence, this is what the story of Christmas is trying to point us to, that initiation from above can come to each of us with a call from a higher influence to surrender yourself to receive its energy and power by its overshadowing effect. Overshadowing in the similar way that Jesus says you must be born from above. And that overshadowing energy quickens us, awakens us from our states of sleep, and there are various different degrees, and helps us to feel something and think something beyond our normal self-perception and tune in to the signal from beyond this realm. And it's not just a one-time thing. It was a one-time thing for Mary in that instance, but for each of us, this Annunciation is every morning and every night, every hour of the day. The Annunciation is coming to us. There are angels hovering around. I have a task, a mission, a calling, a word, an invitation for you, and for you, and for you, and for you. Will you receive it? And this is all occurring in the mind space. The angel came into her. And the second thing I want to draw out in this passage is the nature of spiritual encounters from the receiver's point of view is one of feeling overwhelmed. And the emotion called fear arises because we can't locate this new experience in any prior experience we've had before. So it creates this feeling we call fear, like we've gone over the edge. And this is sometimes terrifying, like this floor dropping out from under you, or consciousness going dark for a moment and not knowing where you're at. And it's such a shock to the system that the whole thing sometimes just fries. And there's a moment of overwhelm. And Mary is this embodiment of fear in that moment. And the angel then, the higher influence says, "Do not be afraid." And this is why. For you have a destiny. You are highly favored. And this is why. And so the fear is always countered by truth. Truth is the remedy for fear. And truth ultimately will lead to love. And love is the, you might say, complete remedy to fear. So that's a beautiful thing to remember, that it is very normal to have that emotion called fear arise on the spiritual journey, especially in the times of dryness where you feel like you've stopped growing. And then the last element of this story that I think is useful for us on our spiritual journeys, as we conclude the year of the way that draws us deeper, and the year that we've spent focusing on the way that draws us deeper can really be summed up by this beautiful phrase, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." This is the process of growing deeper. This higher influence enters into us and encompasses us, encircles us. And that word overshadow is such a beautiful presentation of the concept of the cloud of unknowing that we step into. And the cloud, unbelievably, draws us deeper. And this cloud of encircling and overshadowing energy quickens literally the physical transformation of Mary with the X chromosome and gives the conception of this new life in her physically. In a similar way, by way of analogy, the overshadowing of the higher influence in us draws us deeper into the womb where God is born in each of us, little by little by little, more and more. And that encircling is like Bernadette's circle tour, a circle within a circle. The overshadowing presence of the higher influence encircles us as the self begins to be transformed and that divine center expands out. As the inward power of the Holy Spirit enters into and the presence overshadows and brings about this new life. It's a beautiful template for our spiritual journeys that we go into the quietness of our heart in our meditation. We're encircled by this silence, and sometimes, like 1978, there are tons of presence at 4 a.m. and you feel that you are so loved and that nothing can separate you from the love of God. In 1979, there were hardly any presents underneath the tree. It looked pathetic, like a Charlie Brown Christmas. In fact, we didn't even have a proper Christmas tree. It was so small, we had to put it on a table. And the table was made out of a chair, I believe, and a piece of plywood. There weren't many presents that year. And I woke up and I felt sadness that Christmas. But I didn't feel unloved. Because even though the goodies might be gone, the presence is always there. And the goodies on the spiritual journey are the things we like to focus on. The sunshine moments, the spiritual fruit where we have these great summertime seasons of growing and harvest time seasons of abundance. But there are the 1979 Christmases of very few presents, but much presence in the darkness, in the absence, in the waiting, and in the processing of what's happening. And Mary had her own 1979 Christmas. If you read John chapter 19, you'll see how Mary's dark night came to her after the bright light of the angel appearing. Some 30 years later, standing at the foot of her son, hung up on the cross, dying and then dead. The last words in the Gospel of John of Jesus to his mother, looking down, he sees his mother Mary, his aunt Mary, and his beloved Mary Magdalene, and his beloved John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And he says, "Woman, behold your son. Beloved friend, behold your mother." And then he dies and gives up his essence. And Mary, in the Annunciation, in the overshadowing of her, in the miracle, this profound miracle of the gift of Jesus, the man who would become the Christ, that moment is embedded within, the two are combined. You can't separate the Annunciation and the crucifixion. You can't separate the dark night from the spiritual harvest. They go hand in hand on the spiritual journey. But here's the thing that really encourages me about the dark night of the crucifixion of the self, is that they're together. And that the process of dying didn't happen alone. Jesus was encircled by his angel women, the three Marys, and his beloved John. And the gift that Jesus gave to John and to Mary was to continue the union of their spiritual friendship And the text says that John took Mary into his home thereafter. And it's a beautiful overshadowing of Mary. The one who was overshadowed now is overshadowed by the love of John and the community of the early Christians. And it is a beautiful reminder that even those of us who are far along on the spiritual journey, who have been given grace upon grace, we all need to be spiritually encircled from time to time, and that we need one another more than ever, and that the physical presence of one to the other, standing beside, beloved, here is your son, friend, here is your mother, is a beautiful reminder that we need each other. And so I envision that we will return together and celebrate the Eucharist of the vaccine, and celebrate the miracle of the medical worker, and celebrate the transformation of a year of crucifixion through COVID to a year of resurrection through a new force of love and life and community togetherness that is now just blasted out through these walls and connects virtually every state of our great country and many countries around the world. Well, at least four. So, Merry Christmas. It's such a beautiful time of year. We need one another, and we need these higher influences to keep calling us to not just live full of ourselves, but to be emptied, to be vessels of Christ. You've heard what I've had to say. Let's take a moment in the silence and be still and listen for the angels hovering round. Holy Spirit of God, we thank you for your overshadowing of our lives and for these journeys that keep drawing us deeper and deeper into your love. We thank you for this community that is holding us together. Even though we cannot see one another, we feel the presence and we rejoice. We pray these things in Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. For your generosity and faithfulness of tithing to the church that feeds you spiritually week by week, we take our tithes, gifts, and offerings into our conscious awareness and remember the truth together that God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully, and how blessed we are to simply remember God. And we dedicate these tithes, gifts, and offerings, those that are sent to the church by mail and through online giving, to the victory of consciously chosen love in each of our lives and on this planet, over the lies of separation and all the things that separate us. Amen.
Little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep. The silent stars go by, yet in thy dark street shine. Oh, morning.
Now is the time in our service for 10 minutes of centering prayer, which is a contemplative way of consenting to God's love, presence, and action in our lives.
I invite you to partake as I partake in the Eucharist this morning. Let us pray. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are giving us faith to pray, and that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Spirit and overflow us with your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper, on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you." This is the body of Christ. When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ. Living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God our Creator, for the glory of God's kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let's conclude our worship with Amazing Grace.
I once was lost, but
Thank you for your presence together. It has been a blessing to be overshadowed with the Spirit today in community. We send love from this space for the most conscious and joyful Christmas week to you and your family. Look forward to seeing you here, perhaps in the sanctuary on Christmas Eve day, and certainly for Christmas Eve worship service online, and New Year's Eve as well. The love of God, the grace of Christ, the peace, presence, and power of the Holy Spirit are with us always. Amen.